Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
We have a car here that experts said was impossible, that experts said would never be made.
Back in November, Elon Musk gathered in front of a crowd in Austin, Texas, to unveil Tesla's latest vehicle, the Cybertruck. It's a new electric pickup that looks like no other truck on the road today. At the event, the first models were delivered to a handful of overjoyed customers.
I think it's our best product. I think it's the most unique thing on the road. And finally, the future will look like the future.
Well, I've watched a lot of these kinds of events over the years following Tesla. You know, events like this have become really an important part of who Tesla is as a company, right? Bringing the faithful together and having Elon get up on stage and kind of hold a revival of some kind. It's a really important part of how this company operates.
Edward Niedermeyer is the author of Ludicrous, the unvarnished story of Tesla Motors. He's been following Tesla for years, and he's gotten used to events like this. But the Cybertruck in particular was highly anticipated. The truck was first announced 4 years ago, and people have been mocking it ever since.
We have some footage of the pavement princess of the future. It turns out the Tesla Cybertruck looks just as bad in matte black as it does in its normal steel color.
This thing looks like something out of Blade Runner. Musk says it's bulletproof. It seems to ride lower on the ground than what you'd expect with a pickup. There's a stainless steel exterior and a lot of sharp vertical edges.
You know, in some ways, it's a throwback to a sort of 1980s wedge design style. And so the Cybertruck is this very triangular shaped, and it's got these really long straight lines and these really flat surfaces. It looks, in a lot of ways, it's a design that looks like people compare it to a low polygon model in a video game, and very sort of, you know, sharp angles.
Right. I saw someone, a car designer, say the Cybertruck is a, quote, low polygon joke that only exists in the fever dreams of Tesla fans that stands high on the smell of Elon Musk's flatulences.
I mean, that's a good way to put it. Fundamentally, the design is distinctive. And I think what the Cybertruck's design shows is that Tesla is the company that makes things that are cool. And like for a long time, I think Elon Musk sort of had his finger on the pulse of what was cool, what people were going to think was cool. With this, you know, he's imposing this very extreme version of what's cool. And I think, look, like if you're a guy in your early 20s who has just sold your tech startup for billions of dollars, you know, like there's definitely a market for this vehicle. There are people who like the extremeness of the design, but it really is, the way I would put it, it's a great meme, but it's kind of a terrible vehicle.
But criticism of the Cybertruck is more than just memes. Now that these trucks are actually on the road, people have raised serious questions about safety. Some experts worry that a number of the car's features could be major hazards, like its hard exterior and sharp edges, just to name a few. Based on what you know, what we know, is the Cybertruck safe?
Well, safe for whom, right? That's sort of the question. And this is sort of always the question with vehicles, right? Occupant safety is one thing. But then pedestrian safety, the safety of people outside the vehicle, is another question.
So today on the show, after years of anticipation, the Cybertruck is finally here. Now what? I'm Emily Peck, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about tech, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank, USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Cybertruck was initially scheduled for a 2021 release date, but the first models didn't start going out to customers until that event last November. The price of the truck has also crept up in the year since it was announced.
I think, you know, part of it is that it's an extreme design. Part of it is that it uses manufacturing methods that are not standard. COVID may well have been a factor, yes. But Tesla is always a company that is operating on a high wire. You know, they're always juggling a million plates, and they're always on the brink of bankruptcy, but also on the brink of, you know, domination of the industry. If you look at their stock price, so there's a million possible explanations for why this has taken so long. But I do think that, you know, to some extent, what we're seeing is sort of this legend that Tesla does everything better and faster all the time, always, is sort of hitting the wall with this vehicle.
And do we know, like, just practically speaking, like, how many trucks have been released so far? Do you have, like, a sense of timeline for how many more will be released?
Yeah, well, so, and this is the trick that Tesla pulls off every time they introduce a new vehicle, right? Is you know, you invest in the fixed cost tooling to build these things, uh-huh. And that's a huge upfront investment. And then you have to get production up and running in order to start amortizing that cost, right? And this is why automakers spend time, you know, doing pre-production runs and validation, and spend, you know, months and months essentially producing vehicles, and do not start releasing them to customers until they are actually at, you know, they validated their manufacturing, their production process, so that they can build these vehicles both at high quality, but then also efficiently, cost effectively. Tesla doesn't do that first, prove that the machine that builds the machine, in their words, actually works before they start producing it. They kind of build the airplane as it's flying. And so it makes these production ramps incredibly unpredictable.
It kind of reminds me, it's less like a car maker, more like just a software maker, releasing cars in beta format, basically, limited release betas of cars, which is really unusual. I mean, these are things people have to drive and be safe in, and, you know, you could die. I can't die on the latest release of Apple iOS 18 or something, hopefully.
It is. It's really unusual, and it creates all kinds of other challenges on the safety regulation side and you know, quality and service. What parts, you know, if they're constantly evolving the design, you know, how do they stock the parts? And when you're making a car and you're building a production system in particular, you're talking about big investments in robots and welders and talent and all kinds of other things that you will never be as nimble as you can be in software. And I think that that's one of the big lessons that, again, like, capital markets eventually are going to have to learn about Tesla, is that, you know, cars, no matter how much you want them to be software, they're never going to be software. They're always going to be one of the hardest forms of hardware.
Yeah. So let's get into the hardware. Can you walk through some of the main safety concerns for both pedestrians and drivers? Maybe starting with, the Cybertruck is made out of really hard stainless steel with sharp edges. That seems to be one of maybe like three top safety concerns, right?
Yeah, so it's, I would say it's actually sort of one of the main ones. So you have the, you know, the angular design is itself sort of a, you know, creates these sharp edges and things like that. But I think fundamentally it's combining that angular design with these really hard metals. You know, for Musk, this is about, you know, spectacle, right? And having these hard metals, it's like, oh, this is the same material we're using on the Starship rocket ship. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a hype thing, right? This is also, you know, we can shoot it with a Tommy gun and it won't go through. We have all these like demonstrations that have nothing to do with how people actually use these vehicles, right? But they look cool and they make for good spectacle. And so modern vehicle design there's actually a lot of mixed metal construction, because when you engineer a car for crashing, both for crashing into another vehicle, but also into a pedestrian, you want to use different materials because you want to essentially engineer how the car is going to sort of crumple. And essentially what happens is that by creating sections of the car that are designed to deform, it takes the energy of the crash and sort of disperses it, right? And by having this really super hard stainless steel alloy exterior panels, essentially, and we've seen some, you know, crash test footage from the Cybertruck, and you can tell it doesn't do that. So for example, the hood of a vehicle is usually engineered to crumple very, very easily, right? Because especially for pedestrians, you really want that to give way, because if it doesn't give way and disperse energy, right, the energy just transfers directly into the pedestrian.
Right. You want the hood to take the brunt of the damage.
That's right. And in the first footage that we've seen of the Cybertruck crash testing, we've seen something I've never seen in a vehicle before, which is that instead of crumpling, the hood sort of bows. And what that's doing is it's storing the energy.
Uh-oh.
Right? So the vehicle hits the wall, the hood comes up and it bows in a sort of rounded bow form. And so it's like a spring, and then it releases. And what that means is that if it hits something that is not heavy enough, like a pedestrian, it just goes right through. Essentially, all of the mass, all of the energy transfers directly to the pedestrian, probably on that sort of sharp edge or corner. And that's not good for the pedestrian. The other thing, though, too, is that for the interior, you also want to have some give in the structure of the vehicle to protect the interior occupants as well, because it's about absorbing the energy. And when you optimize your design for just pure strength, you know, you're no longer absorbing the energy. And so it's a little bit different. It's more that the interior occupants get shaken around a lot more. So there's more of a risk of like whiplash and things like that. I don't think there's, you know, I think the hardness, you know, protects the occupants from intrusions.
I mean, he made the truck bulletproof.
Yes. And so I think, you know, what this speaks to is sort of the whole design philosophy of Cybertruck, which is engineering for spectacle rather than for actual use.
And then, of course, and this is where I'm like, is Cybertruck any worse than any other big truck? There's the size and the weight of the thing, which makes it kind of a menace as well. Is that worse than your typical electric truck, or sort of in line with the dangers these vehicles now present to people?
Yeah, I think the weight and mass are pretty comparable to other electric trucks. A lot of safety issues are not monocausal. In fact, it's very rare for a safety problem to have one sort of singular cause. It's usually the combination of factors. And so in this case, it's a combination of, yes, it's large, it's heavy. So you have that mass problem that you have with other trucks of all kinds, electric or not. It's the sharp wedge-shaped design, and then it's the super hard material. It's that combination. Any one of these things on their own, with the exception of the super hard steel, you know, is probably not going to create as much of a risk. But when you bring all of these things together, I do think it presents a pretty unique risk.
The first reported Cybertruck accident happened at the end of December in California, when a Toyota Corolla crossed lanes and hit a Cybertruck. Highway Patrol said the only injury, a minor one, was to the Tesla driver. What does that say to you? Does it say anything to you about the safety of the trucks?
It does, at first glance, seem to confirm my feeling that the safety issues are not just about, you know, pedestrians getting hit by this vehicle, that also this super hard approach to engineering the body structure, because the structure itself doesn't absorb the impact, then it will bounce off things. And essentially that energy, it's not being transferred directly into the occupants of the vehicle, but you can think of them as sort of more like dice in a, you know, in a box or something being shaken up. And so I think it makes sense to me that you will see in Cybertruck crashes that the occupants will have more issues with whiplash and things like that, whereas the danger to of course, pedestrians is much more, I think, sort of grave and kind of grisly potentially.
When we come back, can regulators make the Cybertruck safer?
Thank you. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights.
Gay rights now! Gay rights!
With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queens say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.
Hearing about all these safety concerns, you sort of think to yourself like, well, surely regulators or someone who cares about car safety wouldn't have let this Cybertruck come to market if there are these many issues. Can you kind of like explain how safety regulations play into the release and development of a new vehicle like this?
I mean, hardly at all. We have what's called a self-certification system in this country. So that's part of it, right? So essentially the automaker designs and develops this vehicle. They self-certify that it passes all the relevant safety standards. And the regulators only check a certain percentage of vehicles after they've already been released. So there's a certain element of, you know, our regulators are kind of always chasing the horse that's already out the barn door.
Yeah.
To this. There also are no pedestrian crash safety regulations in this country. We also have a strange situation in this country where the bigger and heavier the truck, certainly getting up into, you know, sort of delivery vehicles and some of these more sort of commercial oriented, there's actually less regulation the bigger and heavier these trucks get. And even safety regulation, which is counterintuitive. I don't think most Americans understand that. But this is also one of these things where if you make a truck heavy enough, the standard for safety is actually slightly lower.
Just to like underline this, it's completely the opposite of how we treat airplanes in the United States, which have to be cleared by regulators before they can fly. And that's part of the reason there was like only 2 deaths from airplane crashes, I think, for like a 10, maybe longer year stretch in the US. And meanwhile, people are dying all the time from car crashes. It's sort of mind-boggling. I mean, will regulators now be looking at the Cybertruck? Are they now looking at the Cybertruck?
I don't know that they are. I think that a lot of things that Tesla has done over the years have been things that regulators have, I think, failed to step up to. Certainly when I think about Autopilot. Autopilot is a driver assistance system that Tesla offers. It's one that is highly automated. And so it kind of fools people into thinking the car is driving itself. And Tesla's been sort of concealing this with a bunch of really misleading safety claims, statistical safety claims that when you go through them turn out to be not true at all. And by 2018, the NTSB had investigated three separate crashes, fatal crashes, and concluded that Autopilot was a direct contributor. The design of Autopilot was a direct contributor to those crashes. And regulators have done nothing. NHTSA or safety regulator has done nothing. And so I think Tesla's unique high-tech Silicon Valley approach is one that's really popular with the public. And I think that conceals the fact that it also allows them to essentially evade a lot of regulation or just simply get into areas that regulators aren't even prepared to step in and intervene on. So I wouldn't expect, any kind of action soon on the Cybertruck safety issues. As a whole, I would say one of the things that I've learned following Tesla is just how vulnerable our auto safety regulatory system is.
And NHTSA, by the way, is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
That's right.
And it sounds like even if they did start investigating the Cybertruck, it could be years before anything actually happens.
That's right. And as far as the pedestrian safety issue goes, there's no standard to hold them to. So I think, what we need to see is either rulemaking from NHTSA or, legislation from Congress. And luckily, in Europe, they've had these measures in place, at least a decade, I think. They've had these pedestrian crash standards in place. So we know how to do it. It's not a mystery, what these standards would look like. And so I think it'd be relatively easy to put them in place, but that would require a rulemaking process at NHTSA or legislation.
We reached out to Tesla for comment, but didn't hear back by recording time. So, to push back a little bit, because we've been really hard on the Cybertruck, is it really any worse than, say, other electric trucks? The electric Ford F-150 is also really, really heavy. Also, you're very high off the ground. It's very dangerous. This has been discussed on other What Next TBD episodes. These giant cars out on the road, these big trucks, electric or not, are causing more deaths right now. Is the Cybertruck, is it just on trend, Ed?
Well, in a way, yes. I think, there's so much media coverage about the EV transition. It's amazing. We've got to, almost 10% of the market is EVs now, and that is really great progress. But the trend away from cars and towards larger and larger SUVs and trucks has been much, 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 much bigger. And the media really tends to ignore that. And I think that these trends actually are very much kind of happening hand in hand. And I think that's one of my concerns about how we're pursuing electrification in this country.
Elon Musk was talking about at this event, this is the most revolutionary, futuristic Cybertruck ever. Is it revolutionary?
It's revolutionary in the sense that nobody else would do it.
Okay.
And for good reason. And again, when you talk about designing, developing, and producing a new vehicle, you're talking about billions of dollars in investment, right? And there's sort of two schools of thought to product at a high level. And one is you study what people actually buy and you give the market what it's telling you it wants. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is you come up with a bold vision of something that the market doesn't even know it wants and they all come to you. And mm-hmm. Elon Musk very clearly has this deep need and desire to step into sort of that Steve Jobs tradition of that second approach, right? He never does market research. He never goes out and talks to people in the market segments that he's developing vehicles for. He relies on his innate sense of what makes a good product. And I think to me, the big question out of all of this is this the point finally where inside Tesla, probably at the board level, it would have to happen where people start to say, Elon, you've taken this company real far. You've done a lot of good for us, but at some point we have to step in and kind of start growing up a little bit.
Increasingly, people are talking about how these new bigger vehicles, these big trucks, are safety hazards. What does it mean that Tesla, this supposedly revolutionary car company, is coming out with another one of these big hulking safety hazards? What does it say about Tesla and about this moment?
Yeah, I think it reveals that Tesla, Musk and Tesla have espoused various core values over the years, whether it's, pushing the limits of technology or environmentalism was sort of the early one. But I think what it shows is that really what Tesla's about is making things that, that Elon thinks are cool, right? And so I think like a big, flashy, unique looking, cool truck, like if he thinks it's cool and he wants to do it, then it's going to go forward. And I think safety is one of these other things that, that Tesla has sort of picked up over the years. And it's interesting, historically, Tesla really only started talking about safety after people started dying in autopilot-involved crashes. And so I feel like there's always been a cynical element to Tesla's sort of professed, you know, core value, like safety being a core value. That's like a lot of their professed core values. I think there's always been an element of cynicism to it. And I think that Cybertruck really reveals that. And I think that's what's fascinating about Cybertruck in general, is that there's nowhere to hide with it. It's like Tesla and Elon Musk released their id on the world. And like, you can't really sugarcoat any of it, both whether it's the design and the quality problems, like the myth that Musk understands the market and what people want better than anyone else. There's nowhere for that myth to hide. It's sort of revealing the truth that I've sort of seen all along at Tesla, which is it's a hype train, you know? And this is sort of the hype train being taken to its logical conclusion. And I think it's no surprise that safety is one of the big losers along the way.
Ed, thank you.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Edward Niedermeyer is the author of Ludicrous, the unvarnished story of Tesla Motors. And that's it for the show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell, Patrick Fort, and Anna Phillips. Our show is edited by Mia Armstrong-Lopez. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate. TBD is part of the larger What Next family. TBD is also part of Future Tense, a partnership of Slate, Arizona State University, and New America. If you're a fan of the show, I have a request for you. Become a Slate Plus member. Just head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. We'll be back next week with more episodes. I'm Emily Peck, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary, and you can catch me on Slate Money every Saturday. Thanks for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
And it would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights.
Gay rights now! Gay rights!
With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queen say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.